Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our WOSU Fall Membership Drive. More about that in just a bit. Colin Powell was the first Black National Security Advisor, first Black African-Black Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and Secretary of State. Many remember him for his speech at the United Nations in 2003, in which he endorsed the plan for the United States to go to war in Iraq. Powell later called that endorsement a blot on his record. Colin Powell died this morning at the age of 84 of complications from COVID-19. He was fully vaccinated. Joining us to talk all things national politics is Ken Rudin, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Ann. Good morning.
Before we get started, you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive, and you know that listener support is the most important part of our budget. So please make your gift right now at WOSU.org. You can call 866-897-9678. You can also text the word give to that same number, 866-897-9678. We have the perfect thank you gift for a true public radio fan, a tote bag. Make a gift of $12.50 a month as a sustainer and get your very own 89.7 NPR News canvas tote bag. This is a whopper. This bag has the 89.7 NPR News logo on one side and the NPR 50th anniversary logo on the other side. Use this tote for carrying books or groceries. Take it with you anywhere. And this tote bag is extra special because it has a zipper. Yay! Get your very own zippered canvas tote bag for $12.50 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $150 when you make a gift at WOSU.org, or you can call or text the word give to 866-897-9678. Your gift today supports 89.7 NPR News going forward. Think about how much you've relied on this station, especially in recent months. You listen to NPR to hear facts that you can trust. And when you want to know what's going on with booster shots and vaccine mandates, when you want to know what lawmakers are doing in Washington, D.C., if anyone can figure it out, this is the station you turn to for reliable information. When you want to know what's happening at the Ohio State House, this station is your source. Your support makes all of that possible. Give today at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And for $12.50 a month, you can get the 89.7 NPR News tote bag as your thank you gift. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or call, or you can call or text give to 866-897-9678. Wow, Ken Rudin, woke up to some sad news today. Colin Powell was a trailblazer in his day. He was courted as a potential presidential candidate by both parties in the 90s. Can you imagine that happening today? In 1995, he reportedly decided campaigning wasn't for him. He returned to public service in 2001 as Secretary of State. And in that role, he lent his considerable credibility to that 2003 invasion of Iraq. What's your sense about his legacy at this point? It was so unexpected.
If you're talking about the death, certainly that was very unexpected. He was also being treated for multiple myeloma. So it's very possible or probable that his ability to fight off infections was weakened because of the way he was being treated. But yes, he was fully vaccinated, as his family said in the treatment in a statement this morning. And it was just heartbreaking, you know. Yeah. But I think Colin Powell himself is a kind of a heartbreaking figure. I'm not speaking ill of the dead, but the fact that he was so widely respected, 1991, the defeat of Iraq during the Gulf War, the first Gulf War with the first President Bush. Matter of fact, in 1991 is when I first joined NPR, and that was, you know, watching everything take place as it did, and Colin Powell received the respect deservedly from the whole country, and he was obviously widely touted by administrations, Democrats and Republicans alike. And then, as you say, when he went before the United Nations in February of 2003 to talk about weapons of mass destruction, well, Colin Powell said it, so we believed it. Now there's always talks about who lied, and my argument is that nobody lied. I truly believe people had poor intelligence, and I think Colin Powell acknowledged that itself, But it was a step down for him. It was a come down for him because he was so widely beloved and respected in this country.
Republicans and Democrats, the idea that Republicans and Democrats were both courting him back in the 90s, that is kind of impossible to imagine today.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's back, I think, back when the Republicans and Democrats had something in common, which they don't today, regrettably. And of course, in 1995, when he was being pushed to seek the Republican nomination for president, he basically said that he did not have the fire in his belly. He did not have the ambition to become president. And he really tried to stay out of politics. But as his Republican Party moved further and further to the right, he really didn't change. And so both times in 2008 and 2012, he voted for Barack Obama. In 2016, he voted for Hillary Clinton. In 2020, he voted for Joe Biden. And matter of fact, in January of this year, he made his break from the Republican Party official, basically in the aftermath of the insurrection of January 6th. He said, this cannot be my party. This is not my party. And but he never did things. I mean, for the most part, he kind of stayed above politics. And I think that was his great appeal all those years.
And he had a lot of firsts under his belt. You know, it never felt performative with him, though, in any way.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, when you rise in the ranks in the military, you know, you're not the first African-American to do this. You just are a military figure who moves up. But of course, you can't help the history involved, mm-hmm. as you point out, the first African-American to be national security advisor, to be first African-American to be chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And of course, under the second President Bush, the first African-American Secretary of State. So, you know, he had his detractors, and certainly many people just felt that they were let down by, you know, his speech touting the war in 2003. But once upon a time, it was a popular war until it became unpopular. Mm-hmm. And I think he was, you know, Colin Powell, the rest of those advocating conflict against Saddam Hussein, I think they just suffered a blowback, and justifiably so, because the war turned out to be just horrific.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guest this hour is Ken Rudin, political journalist, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. We'll have a link to that on our website at WOSU.org/allsides. And on the way to checking that out, go to WOSU.org and show your support for 89.7 NPR News during our fall membership drive. Show your support for 89.7 NPR News and this hour of All Sides. It's all about national politics, and who better to talk about that than Ken Rudin. He's longtime political journalist, host of the Political Junkie podcast. We're thrilled to have him with us today. If having a show like this one is important to you, please make a gift now at WOSU.org, or you can call 866-897-9678. You can also text the word give to that number. When you text the word give to our number, you'll get a link sent back to you immediately, and you can easily make your gift right there on your phone. NPR is celebrating 50 years this year, and we're celebrating that milestone too. Make a gift of $12.50 a month as a sustaining member and get an NPR 50th anniversary tote bag. Since 1971, public radio has been a trusted source for news, and since that time, a steadfast, reliable source for tote bags, too. This bag has the 89.7 NPR News logo on one side and the NPR 50th anniversary logo on the other. Make a gift of $12.50 a month or a one-time gift of $150 to get this great thank you gift. See a picture of it when you give at WOSU.org. You can also call or text the word give to 866-897-9678. You know, giving right now supports this show and everything you hear on 89.7 NPR News, this station and this talk show. We've been covering it all, from what's happening in Washington, D.C. with the infrastructure bill to what's happening with vaccine mandates at the Ohio State House. We've been talking about race and social justice issues. We've done in-depth shows about the economy. We love talking about politics, of course. We cover it locally each week with our weekly reporter roundtable. And we cover national politics like we're doing today with Ken Rudin. If this station is your source for news and information, then now is the time to show your support. Give right now at WOSU.org or call or text the word GIVE to 866-897-9678. And thanks to Julie Elhard and Logan for your support of 89.7 NPR News. Join Julie Elhard and Logan. Become a member right now. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And again, my guest, political journalist Ken Rudin. Ken, Republicans and Democrats are playing sort of a political Russian roulette game with the debt ceiling right now. They manage a short-term increase, but Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says that Republicans will not be there in December when they have to re-up this. Some call it the epitome of political brinksmanship. I'm wondering what your thoughts are about what's going on there.
Well, I think I share the frustration of most Americans who, when they hear the word debt ceiling, it conjures up memories of previous fights over the debt ceiling. And of course, they always, like with every crisis in Washington, they wait for the last second to get something resolved. And that's been going back for many, many years. The thing that makes this more disheartening is that, I mean, if you think of what happened during the Trump administration, when they raised the debt ceiling in 2019, Democrats and Republicans alike realized or accepted the fact that raising the debt ceiling means the US government will prove, you know, that they will pay for what they spent. In other words, they will pay for what they promised in the budgets. They're paying for past actions, and both Republicans and Democrats agreed to it. Now, Mitch McConnell, who's obviously made it clear from the beginning that he'll do everything he can to thwart the Biden administration, says, you're on your own, Democrats. You have to pay for it because, you know, you're the big spending party. Not to mention, of course, forgetting the fact that by cutting the tax rates, right, for so many Americans, wealthy Americans, during the Trump administration, the deficit ballooned. So, you know, it's unfortunate. It's disheartening to see one party have absolutely nothing to do with anything. And it would be one thing if to say that, well, you know something, well, we got rid of Trump in 2020 and we got a Democratic Senate, a Democratic House. Democrats should be in control, but they're not because their own party is not united, mm-hmm, especially when you have a 50-50 Senate. You only have a wiggle room of about maybe 3 or 4 votes in the House. And the Democrats are feuding between their own internecine policies and politics. When you have people like Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, the two centrist senators who just are not going along with raising, you know, with spending the $3.5 trillion on that social services bill that President Biden feels is so necessary. So it's one thing to see the Republicans on one side saying, we're not going to help you along, but to not get help from the fellow Democrats as well is really thwarting and disappointing a lot of Democrats who felt like, wow, you know, it's like what happened after 2008. President Bush was leaving office. Democrats said, well, you know, we elected Barack Obama. This is hope and change that we've expected. And there was a lot of disappointment because a lot of things didn't change. For all the talks about Guantanamo and all these things, mm-hmm, a lot of things didn't change and progressives got very frustrated. And that's the same, a similar thing happened after the 2020 election when the Republicans were basically out of office in this White House, the Senate and the House, and yet the Democrats still can't get things done.
You know, Manchin and Sinema of Arizona, Manchin of West Virginia, I'm just wondering what their issue is with the, I mean, we know, all right, they disagree on the budget. You could tinker with the budget or the infrastructure bill, I should say, and so forth. But it's what they're mostly stalling on and blocking is the change in how the system works and having requiring that larger majority for votes on these kinds of issues.
Well, when the Republicans are being completely obstinate and refusing to lift a hand to help anybody in the Biden administration, you have to say, well, maybe, you know, as a Democrat, you would think you'd want your own president to succeed. But two things. One, regarding Joe Manchin, he comes from West Virginia, which other than Wyoming was the biggest state that went for President Trump in 2020. It's a very red state, which is kind of hard to imagine because once upon a time, this was a true FDR New Deal state. But, you know, I'm going back even before Ann Fisher. But I'm talking about that. It used to be a very Democratic state. And it's now very Republican. And, you know, you can't push a climate change bill when West Virginia is so invested in coal. So there are a lot of things that Joe Manchin can't do. Well, Kyrsten Sinema, I was going to say one thing. Kyrsten Sinema is on the opposite seat because Arizona went for Joe Biden in 2020. It elected two Democratic senators. I'm sorry, it has two Democratic senators for the first time in decades. Mm-hmm. And yet Sinema feels that, you know, she's a true independent. She's not, you know, she's not a partisan. And she's driving Democrats nuts. I mean, and she loves it. She loves the fact that everybody is being frustrated. Now, sometimes on the left, they go through extremes. They followed her into the bathroom at an airport not too long ago, demanding that she signs on to Biden initiatives. But, you know, Sinema is Sinema. She started off as a Ralph Nader Green Party person, and she's now basically as responsible as anybody else for halting the Biden agenda. It's just, you know, this is just Kyrsten Sinema, and you don't know what to do about it.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. And we're asking you today to support the station you listen to every day at WOSU.org or call or text the word GIVE to 866-897-9678. This past year and a half has been an interesting time, to say the least. The news has been relentless, and All Sides has been covering it all, from the pandemic to social justice and race issues to the ongoing opioid epidemic. Make a gift today in support of 89.7 NPR News and this show as well, and help keep us in business. Thanks to Katie Williams in Worthington for your support today. Join Katie Williams in Worthington. Show your support. Become a new member. New for this membership drive, we have a great thank you gift to show off your love of public radio. Get your very own 89.7 NPR News zippered tote bag. Make a gift of $12.50 a month as a sustainer right now at WOSU.org. This tote bag is the perfect thank you gift because, just like public radio, it's useful. Take this bag with you to the grocery store or the library. Stop dropping your personal items all over the floor. Put them in a tote bag. The zippered tote bag has the 89.7 NPR News logo on one side and the NPR 50th anniversary logo on the other side. Get your very own for $12.50 a month as a sustainer, or a one-time gift of $150 when you call or text the word GIVE to 866-897-9678, or make a gift at WOSU.org. And remember, not only do you get a great tote bag, but you'll also be supporting public radio with your gift. If you listen to All Sides every day, then you know the show is committed to producing in-depth, focused conversations on issues important to Columbus and Central Ohio. You hear facts straight from experts so you can make important decisions for yourself, your family, and our community. If you've been listening for a while, we ask you to make the move. Move from being a listener to being a new member of this station. Join the WOSU family. Thanks to Dell Atwood in New Glasgow, Nova Scotia. Dell says, thanks for the great current affairs programming with Ann Fisher and political junkie extraordinaire Ken Rudin. Wow, Dell, thanks a lot for your support of 89.7 NPR News. Support this local talk show that you rely on with a gift today at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678, or text the word GIVE to that same number, 866-897-9678, and thanks for your support.
You know, Ann, I was just listening to you, and I mean, the fact that we just got a contribution, WOSU got a contribution from Mr. Atwood in Canada, which I know a lot of people consider Canada a separate country. I mean, I don't. I really think it's an extension. But but the fact is that public radio just brings you the stuff that you're not going to get on your network TVs and your cable news stuff, which appeals to the converted. There are so many differences of opinion that you hear on public radio. And as I said, as somebody who joined NPR in 1991 for the first time, I know the national reputation of WOSU and shows like All Sides, and And I know you're touting the Nina tote bag, but I mean, it's so more than that, because without the money you need to do what you do, you won't be able to cover the important things that people need to hear. So I think your audience has always been fantastic. I've met so many of them when I've been out to Columbus, and I just want to thank you and everybody else who just keep doing what you're doing, because there's nothing else like it.
Thanks. We had a great program earlier this year with, Susan Stamberg. I can't remember who else was on it. It was so much fun to talk about those early days.
Oh, and she is so delightful. Yeah. She is so funny. And she has this infectious laugh that, you know, in the new NPR building, you hear her voice when you go in the elevator, what floor it is. You know, you hear the recording of Susan Stamberg's voice. She's so adorable. But she is so adorable because she has this giggle that just is so infectious, and she's so delightful.
Yeah, she was a lot of fun, very kind and warm and fun to talk to. Okay, back to politics. Election Day 2021 is less than a month away. A lot of eyes are on the Virginia gubernatorial contest. Biden carried the state by 10 points in 2020. I mean, Virginia's going pretty blue. I mean, at the very least, it's purple, but it's the race is closer than a lot of Democrats would like. Well, what are you seeing, Ken Rudin?
Yeah, you're talking about the race for governor. And of course, Virginia is the only state in the country where a governor cannot succeed him or herself. So there's a new, you know, in the gubernatorial races, there's a new governor every 4 years. Terry McAuliffe was first elected in 2013. He couldn't run again in 2017 and is running again in 2021. And even though, yes, it is a pretty much a Democratic state, Barack Obama won it twice. Hillary Clinton carried the state. Joe Biden carried the state. When I was growing up, I mean, Virginia was a solid Nixon-Reagan Republican state. But as more and more there's more diversity, Northern Virginia has become very, very Democratic. But here's the thing. There's a very good candidate. I mean, good as far as a campaigner named Glenn Youngkin, who is a first-time candidate. He is the Republican nominee. And he's trying not to define himself at all, just saying it's time for a change and that Terry McAuliffe represents the old in politics. The problem, as Democrats are insisting, is that Glenn Youngkin is overwhelmingly supported by Donald Trump. There was a Youngkin rally over the weekend where Donald Trump called in. Matter of fact, at the rally, they waved the flag that was used during the January 6th insurrection. Now, right. Youngkin said that was a mistake, but this is what Democrats are afraid of, that if Youngkin gets in, Virginia winds up with an abortion policy similar to what's going on in Texas. They wind up with a COVID policy, because Youngkin is against mandatory vaccines. They wind up with a COVID policy that's similar to Florida. And they say it'll be a terrible step back, and it will send a signal to the country in 2022, next year's midterms, that if Joe Biden and the Democrats can't hold on to Virginia, which they, you know, seem to be doing pretty well in recent years, then what's going to happen with the Democratic majorities in Congress next year? So Virginia, we always hype these midterm elections far more than usual, more than needed. But this time it's justified because there's a lot at stake, two completely different ideologies focuses. For the two major parties, and both parties, especially the Democrats, are very nervous because it looks like Republicans are far more excited about it and Democrats are apathetic. And one of the reasons Democrats are apathetic, because they look at Joe Biden and say, well, nothing's getting done. You know, we elected him and we promised we have all these things and all these climate change and preschool funding and all these things, and nothing is happening. Instead, we're getting, you know, a messy exit from Afghanistan. But where are the voting rights? Where's the climate change? Where's police reform? Mm-hmm. Democrats are frustrated. Republicans think they have the edge. It's going to be a tough and very close race. The whole world is watching, including Del Atwood from Canada.
Thanks to Carol Smith in Columbus. Carol says, I've worked from home for 19 months and 89.7 is on all day long. You've helped me get through the pandemic. Well, we came into work all the way through the pandemic, Carol, hoping and knowing, you know, in many cases that folks like you are out there listening. So thanks for your support today. Thanks so much. And thanks for listening. Maybe I'm not sure I say that enough, but we really, really appreciate the people are out there listening to what we're doing and know about the hard work that we're putting in every day. And the team here at All Sides and the whole news team is all back in the building now. Give us a call at 866-897-9678 and show your support right now. Join Carol Smith and also Lynn Reese in Columbus. Thank you, Lynn, for your support of 89.7 NPR News. We're about halfway through the program with Ken Rudin, political journalist, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast, a regular contributor to this program. We have him on about once a month. I think we were up to two times a month back when it was very heated about a year ago. We pulled back a little bit, but it's going to ramp up again, as it always does. Thanks to Melina Stoltz in Columbus. Melinda, okay, that makes more sense. Melinda Stoltz in Columbus. And thanks to Sandy Freer and Powell. Thanks for your support today of 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Dan Fisher. We need you to stay afloat. We need your support, and it helps us find direction when we know you're out there listening and support what we're doing. It encourages us. It helps define where we need to go next. And what we try to do is follow, you know, kind of tear things from the headlines and make some sense of it all and create some context and provide that context with folks like Ken Rudin, who is really very, very young, but just is a great historian and has a really a good head for facts, so political facts. So stay with us. Thanks to Sandy Freer and Powell again and Melinda Stoltz in Columbus. Why is the Virginia race considered a bellwether for 2022?
Well, I think it is this year. It's not always. I mean, for example, you know, you could make the case that, when Terry McAuliffe was elected governor in 2013, the following year, Republicans swept the whole country, the 2014 midterm. So it's not always a bellwether, but it will send a sign, just like what we saw in California during the recall, when Democrats ran against, was opposed to the recall by tying the opponents to Donald Trump. It was very effective. Of course, California is a very blue state, a deep blue state, much more so than Virginia. But if Virginia Democrats, if they can retain the governorship with Terry McAuliffe, if they could paint their opponents as clones of Donald Trump, they feel that would be a winning message for 2022. On the other hand, if the Republicans Glenn Youngkin wins in Virginia, it'll send a sign that maybe Donald Trump is not as toxic as people think, and it might, you know, maybe ward get Democrats not to run solely against Donald Trump in 22. But the fact is, as I said before, the abortion ruling in Texas, the COVID policies in Florida, that scares the heck out of the Democrats, and especially the specter of Donald Trump running again in 2024. And, you know, you think of all the things Trump did while president. He had somewhat respectable members of the cabinet who, of course, broke with him because they just didn't want to be part of the insanity. Trump will be unhinged should he run for president again. There'll be Steve Bannons and Steve Millers and all those people who are just on the fringes of politics. Because who's going to stop him? The Republicans certainly don't stand up to him in Congress. And that's why what happens in Virginia and the approach taken by Democrats in Virginia can be very, very significant moving ahead to next year's midterms.
I want to talk about Mitch McConnell for a second, but first I have to thank some folks, Frank and Susan Kaunacki in Dublin, and also Domino Hooks in Columbus. He wrote, WOSU has been in my life for a long time. I am glad to finally be in a place where I do my part to support public radio. And Domino Hooks is making such a great point there. You know, this is a time to maybe pay it forward. So maybe there was some time in your life where it wasn't, you know, it wasn't reasonable, it wasn't affordable to show your support financially for 89.7 NPR News, but maybe you have a little extra cash this year and you can at some level at any level, show your support, become a new member. That's what it's all about. That's making sure that 89.7 NPR News is there for people in the future, because somebody in the past has been supporting 89.7 NPR News, so you can listen to it today. Remember, that's how listener-supported 89.7 NPR News works. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It is our fall membership drive, and for this hour, we're talking politics with Ken Rudin. If you appreciate hearing Ken's perspective on the news, then make a gift now while Ken is on the air. Give to at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We ask that you give at any amount. We want to get new members. We want new members of the club. Every dollar makes a difference. Give what fits in your budget. If $12.50 a month, think about that, $12.50 a month works for you. We have a great thank you gift. It's the 89.7 NPR News zippered tote bag. Zippered is a really big deal this time. I guess the other ones haven't been zippered. This canvas tote bag is the perfect gift for a true public radio nerd. Public radio listeners love tote bags, and this is a good one. It has the 89.7 NPR News logo on one side and the NPR 50th anniversary logo on the other side. And it is an extra special tote bag because it has a zipper. Get your very own 89.7 NPR News tote bag when you give today at $12.50 a month or a one-time gift of $150. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. You listen to 89.7 NPR News because you know you can trust what you hear on this station. 89.7 has continued to provide you with the latest efforts to heal the racial divide in our community. The WOSU News team and All Sides with Ann Fisher provide regular updates on efforts to reform police practices and close healthcare disparities. Your financial support helps us in those efforts to keep these important issues top of mind for our community. Your support will keep these conversations going. Give today at WOSU.org or call or text the word give to 866-897-9678. And again, I want you to be sure you take advantage of the chance to get the tote bag thank you gift. Take a look at it on our website at WOSU.org. And thank you for your support. Ken Rudin, let's go back to the general, the midterms and the challenges for Republicans and Democrats. But first, I want to talk about Mitch McConnell and what your sense is. I mean, you've followed his career for a long time now. Was he always headed in this direction, this, you know, where he sees something as really as simple as the debt ceiling being raised, which used to be no big deal, something as vital to our national security, to the nation's reputation around the world? Why is this his last quiver is this last arrow in his quiver, I guess? Is this it? I mean, this is really bottom line stuff now.
Well, this is Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is not what one would call a true conservative. What he is, though, is somebody who's a tactician who will do whatever it takes to win. Remember when Barack Obama was first elected in 2008, Mitch McConnell said, my goal is to make him a one-term president. I mean, he said that flat out. When Justice Scalia died and President Obama nominated Merrick Garland to replace him on the Supreme Court, it was Mitch McConnell who said, no, I'm not going to have any hearing. This is even before Donald Trump. I'm not going to have any hearings on him because it's an election year. Of course, when Ruth Bader Ginsburg died, there was no hesitation pushing Amy Coney Barrett into the Supreme Court. So what he is that he uses, it's funny. You think of the Democrats as supposedly the majority party in the Senate. But what Mitch McConnell says, it seems like he runs the show. The Democrats seem to be running up, many of them running with their tail between the legs. And Mitch McConnell has a very united party. Is there really not one Republican who supports the environment? Is it not really not one Republican who supports abortion rights? I mean, of course, there has to be. We've heard about, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins and Republicans like that. But Mitch McConnell has them all in lockstep. And it's just, you say, is this his last hurrah? Well, he's already said that if Joe Biden nominates if there's a Supreme Court opening in, let's say, 2023, he said he's not going to act. He's probably not going to act on it and wait for the 2024 presidential election. You know, it's one thing to look. It's one thing to not like Robert Bork for the Supreme Court, but Democrats gave him a hearing. There was an up and down vote. There was not even a hearing for Merrick Garland because Mitch McConnell said no. And that's just stunning, a lack of decorum and well, the way Senate is working.
Well, you know, the Senate filibuster, for example, you know, famously Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, who we were talking about earlier, won't support getting rid of the filibuster. And you know, going along with Republicans on that score. But I was reading the other day that they would have no compunction if they take control next year. They would eliminate the filibuster in a New York Senate if that's what it took.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, I'm very aware that Ohio, which once upon a time was a kind of a swing state, has become solidly Republican. Mm-hmm. It went to Donald Trump by 8 points in 2016, another 8-point victory in 2020. So I know who's listening to these programs, but the fact is that this is not the way politics is supposed to be. It's supposed to be where, you know, you could argue and fight with each other on the Senate floor, but back off the floor, you open up a bottle of scotch and you're sitting and talking, Democrats and Republicans alike. Mm-hmm. Now, if a Republican is caught talking to a Democrat or vice versa, they're traitors, they're rhinos, they're people who are giving up, selling out their own party. It's us against them, and it's only getting worse. And you know, that's why people like Rob Portman, who I do believe in his heart of hearts, has some kind of consideration for good politics, although you don't always know it by his voting record. But I think his instincts are right. But I think one of the reasons he's quitting is because he's just so tired and upset with the toxic atmosphere mm-hmm. in Washington. Unless you're a 100% partisan, I wouldn't advise being in politics because it's not a fun occupation anymore.
Not even right down to the school board. Thanks to Susan Richardson in Granville and also Amy McLean in Powell. Thanks for your support of 89.7 NPR News. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. It is our fall membership drive. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Programs like All Sides with Ann Fisher, All Things Considered, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. These programs are paid for with listener support. So give today like Susan Richardson and Amy McLean. Give today at WOSU.org or call or text the word give to 866-897-9678. As a regular listener to All Sides with Ann Fisher, you know that we bring you a diverse range of topics. Every Monday, you hear the Weekly Reporter Roundtable. Every Wednesday, you hear Wellness Wednesday, and you learn about fitness trends or the latest cutting-edge research. All Sides with Ann Fisher is dedicated to in-depth, thoughtful discussions that go beyond the headlines. Support your public radio station today. Give today at WOSU.org or call or text the word give to 866-897-9678. If you're already a member of 89.7 NPR News, thank you. But if you have been a member at the $10 a month level for a while, this is a great opportunity to increase the sustaining membership to $12.50 a month. And then you can also get our tote bag thank you gift. Give today at WOSU.org or call or text the word give to 866-897-9678. So if you're already at the $10 a month level, for another $2.50 a month, raising it to $12.50 a month, you can get the tote bag. It's a great deal. It's a beautiful bag. It's going to be super strong, and you're going to have it for a long, long time. Just like you have 89.7 NPR News in your life for a long, long time. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. And thanks so much for your support. The January 6th committee, we have to talk about this. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6th insurrection issued subpoenas to, among others, former Trump advisor Steve Bannon and former White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. That was in September. They're pretty much snubbing their nose at this. What's the deal, Ken Rudin? What's the end game there?
They're waiting out the clock. Now, tomorrow they're going to have another meeting and they're going to decide whether to issue, the committee, decide to issue contempt charges against Steve Bannon and others. And they could avoid it all. Look, they have no standing. I mean, I think Steve Bannon is arguing that he has executive privilege, which is ridiculous because he left the administration in 2017. I mean, by 2021, during the January 6th insurrection, he was hardly a member of the executive branch. Mm-hmm. But and so his argument doesn't hold weight at all. But the longer he delays, he knows that the committee is talking about wrapping up in the spring. And if you just postpone and postpone and postpone and delay, you know, then the committee goes away. And you know, for all they know, the Republicans win the House in 2022, which is very, very possible. And, you know, a few seconds ago, you talked about the, this ugliness is not only in Congress, but it's at the school board meetings.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen instances in school board meetings where people are just saying, you know, I'd rather die than get a vaccine, and you're usurping my rights as, you know, as an American citizen by mandating vaccines. And that's why 2,000 Americans are dying a day, because there's a become a political football here that's saying that if you, you know, if you force a vaccine on American people, it's totalitarianism. And that's just frightening and disheartening. And just because the Republicans say, well, you know, something, you could do what you want. You know, they didn't say that. They don't see that with seatbelts. They don't say that with a polio shot. They don't say it with all these kind of things. I mean, it's basically you're protecting other Americans. If they so care about, you know, about my right to be free, well, it's my right to be free, too, from somebody who's walking around unvaccinated. So it's not only Congress, it's filtered down to school boards and local meetings, and it's just so disheartening. As I said before, it's not getting any better, and that's why 2022 is so crucial.
What does that select committee expect to achieve without Republican support in it?
Well, of course, they do. It's interesting. They do have two Republicans now. They have Liz Cheney of Wyoming, and they have Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, and Kinzinger and Cheney are probably the most effective anti-Trump members of Congress, Democrats or Republicans. Mm-hmm. And yet the Democrats who complain about redistricting and how the Republicans are railroading their as individual states because of redistricting, you know, the redrawing of lines. The Democrats just basically wrote off Adam Kinzinger's seat. They eliminated his seat. They put him in a very highly Democratic district, and he may lose because of Democratic redistricting. So, you know, if you don't like what Trump is doing and what Trumpism is doing, you probably want to keep Adam Kinzinger in Congress as long as possible. But you know, the Democrats seem to think otherwise.
Last week, an op-ed written by two prominent Republicans, former Homeland Security Director Miles Taylor and former New Jersey Governor and U.S. EPA Administrator Christine Todd Whitman, urged right-leaning voters to support moderate Democrats for the sake of democracy. What are your thoughts about whether these public displays of disaffection for Donald Trump move the needle?
I don't think it does, because I don't think it's going to. I don't know anybody who can be convinced by anything anymore. Mm-hmm. I think everybody is, you know, stuck, you know, dug in their heels and not changing. Like Matthew Dowd, who is a George Bush speechwriter, he's now running for the Democratic nomination for lieutenant governor of Texas. There are a lot of Republicans who either say. There are a lot of never Trump Republicans who are saying vote Democratic, or they're even leaving the Republican Party itself, like Colin Powell did earlier this year. I don't know if it changes the needle at all. I don't know if people are going to be maybe it'll just affect those who are disenchanted and maybe thinking about staying home. The true Trumpers are not going to change their minds, but perhaps there are some who are just on the fence. Could move it a little bit. But right now, the margins are so close, 50-50 in the Senate. Democrats have a 3 or 4 vote lead in the House. Every seat, every vote matters.
Thank you to Gail Learned in Columbus and also Anita Matter in Columbus. Thanks for your support of 89.7 NPR News. If you want to show your support, join Gail and Anita. Give us a call, 866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Make that show of support right now. Become a new member. If you've been listening for the past year and a half, you got kind of hooked on 89.7 NPR News because you wanted news on these constantly breaking stories from COVID to what was happening during the 2020 election cycle, and you got hooked on 89.7 NPR News, now is the time to show your support so that we can continue to bring you that kind of depth, that kind of context that you've come and come to expect every single day. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. You know, Taylor and Whitman wrote Taylor and Whitman wrote that starting a center-right third party may be their only option if Trump-backed candidates continue to win Republican primaries, but they acknowledge the obvious, that history is littered with failed attempts at breaking the two-party system. What is the deal about that anyway?
Yeah, I think it's a pipe dream that you always have when there's great dissatisfaction with the two parties, with the two-party candidates. I mean, you look, in 2016, I don't think there's ever been as two unpopular presidential nominees as there were with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And you would think that a third party could make some headway, but they didn't. I mean, the Libertarian Party did get, I think, 3% of the vote or even 5% of the vote, which is remarkable. But the fact is, this country is a D versus R party. I mean, a country. I remember when Ross Perot ran in 1992, he spent a record $60 million back then it was a record. Now I think every congressional race is $60 million. But Ross Perot spent all this money and he got a total of zero electoral votes. So unless something catastrophic happens to the country, and I'm not saying that won't happen because we're heading, I mean, for those of us who think that January 6th was just, you know, a practice run, and there are more January 6th to come, I think we are headed for terrible, terrible things to come. But until the American people get alarmed enough, we're just going to be saying, oh, wow, yeah, I remember democracy. It was pretty good, but it really didn't work that well. That frightens the heck out of me.
Me too. We're just about going on 8 minutes before the end of the hour, and I want to encourage you to take a few of those minutes and show your support for 89.7 NPR News while my guest, political journalist, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast, Ken Rudin, is on the air with me. 866-897-9678. Again, there's just going on 8 minutes left in the hour. We need to see your show of support. We need you to tell us that talk about national politics is something that you care about, matters to you, that you know is important. 866-897-9678 or call or text the word give to 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Give before the end of the hour. Show your support. Tell us this is something you value. 866-897-9678. Right. So, Ken, you know, we're talking about the specter that we may be talking about democracy in the past tense someday. And a big issue is voter apathy. In a democracy like ours, you can't get apathetic anymore. You can't say, "Oh, I'm too tired. I'm still trying to, you know, unwind from 2020." That's just not the way it works.
Well, but yeah, I understand the, I don't know if it's the apathy or the exhaustion. I mean, considering the fact that so many Republicans, January 20th is still has an asterisk. It still is not really defined, decided. It's still, you know, as Donald Trump will say to his supporters every day, that it was fixed. It was, you know, it was just maneuvered. It was stolen from us. And as long as so many Republicans agree with that, including many members of Congress, we're not going to, you know, if you keep pounding into it over and over and over again that your vote doesn't count, it's fake, it's a fraud, it's all that stuff. People are going to stay home, and that's the biggest fear. I mean that's why it'll be interesting to see if Democrats turn out in November in Virginia, because if they don't see what's at stake, if they don't see the threats to abortion rights and voting rights and COVID protections, then maybe they deserve what they get. But right now, it makes no sense for anybody to be apathetic, given what's at stake.
And I really appreciate the enthusiasm of all the listeners today who have gone to WOSU.org or called 866-897-9678 to show their support during our fall membership drive. Thanks to Kirby Black in Delaware and Phyllis Hefner in Columbus. Phyllis told us, this station is the whole package. I get the straight news story. I don't listen to another station. Phyllis, thank you so much for that support and that show of support. Thanks for your enthusiasm and thanks for caring about getting the news right, getting the context right every single day. Call us right now if it's something that you value as well. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Maybe you listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher all the time. If you do, then you know that we work hard to bring you a diverse range of topics. It gets kind of crazy sometimes, but we do it because, for one thing, it's what interests us, but we also mostly do it because it's what interests you. We do it for you, because of you. From news of the day to long-term trends, you're going to hear about all of it on 89.7 NPR News and on this show. Our goal over time is to bring you all sides of the issues that matter to you. This is something that only happens on public radio. To support local programming that is truly local, give today at WOSU.org or call or text the word give to 866-897-9678. And remember, no matter what amount you give, you're supporting the news and information on 89.7 NPR News. There is power behind your gift to the station. Your gift is combined with thousands of other gifts, and all those together make a very powerful voice. We're listener-supported public radio. You are the power behind public radio. Give now, 866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org. Ken, we just have a few minutes left, but I can't let you go before we talk about Ohio's 15th congressional district seat, formerly held by Republican Steve Stivers. It's up for grabs, sort of. It is a gerrymandered district, of course. Everything is in Ohio, but it's very safe for Republicans. But the 15th includes Clinton, Fairfield, Hocking, Madison, Morgan, Perry, Pickaway, and Vinton counties, as well as portions of Athens, Fayette, Franklin, and Ross counties. Now, I know that it probably doesn't mean a lot to Ken Rudin, but just for our listeners, anyone who knows the state of Ohio knows that that is like really covering the waterfront, no pun intended. In the race is former coal lobbyist and Trump-backed Republican Mike Carey, and on the Democratic side, it's State Representative Allison Russo, who considers herself an independent voice. What are the chances? I mean, this is a special election, so, you know, turnout sometimes isn't what it could be during specials. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, it's a Republican district. If I know it's been gerrymandered over the years. I think if memory serves, the last time a Democrat won that seat may have been 1980 with Bob Szymanski. I could be wrong. But what I'm saying is that, you know, as you point out, it's a special election. Mike Carey, of course, nobody ever heard of until Donald Trump endorsed him.
Right.
And he got the Republican nomination. And, you know, it's you know, you could talk about gerrymandering until you're blue in the face, but ultimately, if the lines are drawn, you know, both parties can't do anything about it. It's the Senate race that really, and we'll talk about it another time, but it's the Senate race, it's Rob Portman's Senate race, yep, that is really crucial because everybody has a fair shot. The entire state votes. It's not a redistricted, you know, it's not lines drawn to favor one party or the other. So I kind of think that the Columbus centered congressional district stays Republican. Mm-hmm. It could be closer than expected, but I just think the Republicans take it. And I don't think, as a matter of fact, I don't think next year in the midterms, any House seat is going to change in Ohio. Mm-hmm. It's the Senate race that's so important.
Right, coming up in 2022. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus, and online at WOSU.org. It's a service of WOSU Public Media, 89.7 NPR News. We're global, we're local, but we can't help but think that there are people all over the country listening, including Karen Benjamin in Sausalito, California. Thank you, Karen, for your support today. Thank you to Vera Kinkelar in Dublin for your support today. 866-897-9678 is the number to call. We're just about out of time. Many, many thanks, as always, to Ken Rudin, political journalist, host of Ken Rudin's Political Junkie podcast. Ken, we'll be talking in a few weeks. Thanks again for all your help today. 866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org. Remember, 89.7 NPR News is dedicated to bringing you in-depth local news. We have our award-winning news team, and we have this show, a two-hour local talk show. This programming is only possible with listener support. Thanks to Randall Roberts Anderson in Reynoldsburg for your support today. 866-897-9678 is the number to call. It's so easy to get this done. You hear in-depth features on the issues that impact life in Central Ohio from our news department, and you hear conversations on the topics that matter to you when you listen to All Sides. We bring you interviews with newsmakers across the country and in your own backyard. Looks like Randall is a new member, and he loves the show. Randall, we love you. Thank you so much for listening. It really feels good to show support for the things that matter in your life. And if 89.7 NPR News matters, if All Sides with Ann Fisher matters, if the politics we cover every week, every month matters to you, then now's the time to call, show your support. Thanks to Susan Brooks in Columbus, 866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org. And thanks for your support. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.